know how to get the best sleep of your life, and I mean the type of sleep where you wake up instantly refreshed and hop out of bed to seize the day. You can get that type of sleep by keeping me out of mattress ad hell realms by supporting this podcast. It's actually been clinically shown that people who support this podcast sleep better. I don't know what it is, it's just a magical thing. You can support me and keep me out of hell realms by going to my website, moonmattersastrology.com, and picking your favorite way to show support. You can make a one-time donation, become a patron, and get access to the Discord, as well as retrograde guides and monthly lunar mini horoscopes, book a tarot reading, order a poem, or even sign up for my live webinar on the major arcana cards that's happening this week. My webinar on the major arcana cards, The Fool's Journey, is happening this Thursday on the 22nd. So if you're interested in learning more about tarot, deepening your connection to the astrological symbolism within the major arcana, definitely check that out. You'll find all that and more on my website, so please feel free, look at all of it. While you're there, also sign up for my mailing list so you can receive updates on when my books are open for natal sessions. That's going to be happening in the next couple weeks. So if you're wanting to book a session with me, make sure you're on my mailing list. And then also so you can receive my monthly newsletter where I give overviews of transits and just Moon Matters updates in general. Sign up for it. It's good for your health. And thank you in advance for supporting me. Today, we're checking in with my Saturn and Pisces people. I did an episode on Saturn and Pisces in general earlier last year when the ingression began, but I wanted to check back in with everyone, see how we're doing, and also dive into some historical examples of Saturn returns in Pisces in particular. I have a really interesting list of examples today, and I hope they showcase how the house placement and other factors in the chart really shape the Saturn return experience. Speaking of the houses, if you want a more in-depth look at what your Saturn return in Pisces holds for you, I have a blog post on my website that goes through Saturn in Pisces in each of the houses. It is patron content, but I do have a patron tier that allows blog access for articles like that. So please check it out if you're looking for more info on Saturn in Pisces. All of today's examples are Saturn and Pisces specific. I'm going to be going over what was happening for these people during their Saturn return, the big events that transpired, as well as the condition of Saturn in their chart overall. Obviously, Saturn isn't the only player in your Saturn return. It's kind of just the big one. It's obviously the biggest factor. But other things like little transits and what else was going on at the time, the perfection year you're in, all of those things, they matter in the overall interpretation, but today we're really just zeroing in on Saturn and the condition of it in their chart, the house placement, and kind of what transpired for them as a whole over this 2.5-3 year period. Let's start with a super quick recap of Saturn and Pisces, because regardless of if you're in your Saturn return right now or not, Saturn is still transiting your house of Pisces and making an impact on it. In a very broad nutshell, Saturn in Pisces is pushing us to create a container for our magic. It wants us to ground our innate intuition and harness it in a way that it can be productive. Saturn honestly doesn't mind being in Pisces. It sees Pisces and it's like, okay, magic man, I see you got the juice, but how can I capitalize on it? How can I make that magic more efficient and put it to work? Saturn in Pisces is also pushing us to see past our own illusions and the things we'd rather daydream about than actually make happen. There's a lot of grounding and tough love when Saturn is in Pisces. Saturn isn't trying to squash the dream, but rather be more realistic about the dream so that it can come to fruition. Saturn wants us to stop falling victim to our own illusions and our own excuses, our own bullshit, and put both feet on the ground, if not just for a moment. No matter where your Saturn placement is, I think everyone should be taking care of their feet right now. Pisces rules the feet, so Saturn being there is like, hey, get your feet right. This goes double for people who have Saturn currently in the first, second, or sixth house. Now that we did that quick little recap, let's get into these examples. The first two are honestly obligatory, especially the first one. I could not make this episode without mentioning the first example. Literally, the podcast gods would not allow it. The first example is none other than Saturn return in Pisces poster boy, Kurt Cobain. And I even think I would go so far as to say that a lot of the fear-mongering around Saturn Returns comes from Kurt Cobain's experience, because I think we all know he didn't make it. He is no longer with us. He died. So I think that really strikes fear in people, especially when you're just getting into astrology and you learn, like, okay, Saturn return, yeah, Kurt Cobain died during his. And there's other examples of that as well. We're just talking about a Pisces-specific one. It's also going to be the 30th anniversary of that happening this year. So I just think this is like a really big event. It's a really big timing, because Kurt Cobain would be in his second Saturn return if he was still alive. So I've said this before and I'm going to say it again. I'm not really a Nirvana fan. I'm not a Kurt Cobain fan. It's not that I outwardly hate him or dislike him. I just don't care either way. My reporting on his life is just me relaying information and nothing more. It's not that deep for me when it comes to Kurt. So for all my Nirvana people, I am sorry if I miss a detail. Don't come for me. That's another thing I want to say quickly. I'm giving you the highlights for these examples. There's more you can suss out and on your own, and I encourage you to do so. I encourage you to even look at the charts of other people who have Saturn in Pisces, and you know about their lives, like a celebrity or something like that. I'm not a historian. This isn't the History Channel, so I'm just giving you the highlight reel. Our first example is Kurt Cobain, and we're looking at his first Saturn return, because again, that's the only one he had. Kurt Cobain died during his first Saturn return on April 5th, 1994. His Saturn info in his natal chart is that it was 28 degrees Pisces in the seventh house. He had a night chart, so it was his greater malefic, meaning that he would get more hardship, I guess you can say, from Saturn. Night charts have a harder time with Saturn than day charts do typically. That's how the playing field is set up. His Saturn also had dignity by bounds. It was conjunct Venus and Chiron and trine Jupiter and Neptune. Kurt's Saturn was a decently malefic force in his chart. It was the greater malefic by sect, and being in its own bounds allowed Saturn autonomy to be more malefic. Saturn doesn't have dignity in either direction in Pisces. It's not in fall, it's not exalted, it's not in detriment or domicile. It's just kind of there. But those last 2 degrees of Pisces is where Saturn feels really at home and can bring out a lot of malefic energy to the table. Vadius Valens describes the last 2 degrees of Pisces as enfeebled, moist, subject to fits, entirely unlucky. And I'm not here to go through Kurt's chart in its entirety, but we'll just leave it at that's what Vadius Valens described those last 2 degrees as. Being conjunct Venus and Chiron really speaks towards his relationship troubles, and I think we know his relationship with Courtney Love wasn't the always most stable and healthiest thing in his life, and that's on both their parts. I'm not blaming either. From what I have read about both of them, they were both pretty toxic for each other. He was super committed, though, in his relationship, because Saturn and Venus, when they're together, they create this strong desire to have a really secure bond. But secure does not always mean healthy. You can be committed to love and you can be committed to destruction. Courtney Love has said about Kurt that he was psychic. He could tell if you were not all there. Sex to him was incredibly sacred. He found commitment to be an aphrodisiac. Commitment being an aphrodisiac is an extremely Saturn conjunct Venus vibe. So that quote really stood out to me from her about how he kind of viewed relationships, because Saturn conjunct Venus is very much commitment is kind of the eros, the spark of the relationship. It helps with the longevity of things. There were brief periods in May to June of 1993 that Saturn dipped into Pisces, but Kurt's return really took full swing when Saturn fully committed to being in Pisces in late January of 1994. Kurt only experienced his Saturn return for about 3 months until he died. During that time, Saturn has transited over his Pisces sun, and he allegedly committed suicide. I say allegedly because I don't know. I don't know. I hear the murmurs, but he allegedly committed suicide when Saturn was at 7 degrees in his chart, just 6 degrees away from his sun and not making any other aspects with other planets. Now, did Kurt Cobain die because he was in his Saturn return? No. Did he die because he was an extremely troubled man and carried weights within himself that he couldn't overcome? Probably yes. his death is actually still really up for debate for a lot of people, which is something we're going to talk about with our next example, Courtney Love. But before we get to Courtney, I really want to stress that your Saturn return does not mean you're going to die. Death will absolutely be part of the experience for some people, but it's not a guarantee. We're not here to do a deep dive on Kurt's chart and all the fate and the human experience factors that led him to the Saturn return experience he had. We're just looking at the facts of how a Saturn return went and the condition of Saturn in his chart. And based on how it was set up and, you know, how he experienced his Saturn and all of his life events leading up to there, it ended how it did. Now let's move on to Kurt's counterpart, Courtney Love. We're going to talk about her first return and then also her second return. Courtney also has Saturn in Pisces, obviously, so her and Kurt were going through their returns at the same time. Obviously, they had very different experiences, so let's look at what Courtney's natal Saturn consisted of. Her Saturn was 4 degrees of Pisces in the sixth house. She's a day chart, unlike Kurt, who is a night chart, so this is actually her lesser malefic. And I say that Saturn in day charts is a lot more constructive than destructive. It's a little more critical than just tearing you down. It's helping you by critiquing you, but it's not just outright tearing you down or caging you in like it can feel in the night charts. Her Saturn's also retrograde and it has dignity by Decan. And the only real aspect it's making is that it's opposing Uranus. So right off the bat, we see that Courtney Saturn is her lesser malefic via sect, which creates a really big difference in energy and how that planet is experienced just baseline, not looking at anything else. Day and night charts, they experience Saturn very different. We can also note that Saturn isn't really with any of the traditional planets, so it's not pushing malefic energy towards other placements through aspects like it was in Kurt's chart. Now, it does have dignity by being in its own decan, so there's still malefic energy to be had, but it's not being spread around the chart as much. It's much more contained in the realm it resides in, and it's also retrograde, which makes the placement feel more self-imposed or like the person makes things hard on themselves rather than outside forces being the main constricting factors. The tarot card associated with the Saturn's decan in Pisces is the Eight of Cups, which speaks to abandonment, escapism, disappointment, and needing to walk away or separate yourself from an emotional disappointment. And those are all things which we see that are part of Courtney's Saturn return. On the day of Kurt Cobain's death, transiting Saturn was conjunct her natal Saturn with an orb of 3 degrees. So it was pretty damn near close to being the portion of her return that would be considered the heaviest or the hardest. Kurt died roughly a month after transiting Saturn was exact her natal Saturn. At the time of his death, it was also opposing Uranus and Pluto in the 12th house, which tells us that mental anguish and losing her mind and potentially even addiction was on the menu. And we know that happened for her because the rest of her Saturn return, Courtney was known to have been violent, drug-fueled, and just a really erratic human being. The 12th house also deals with mental prisons and addictions, so Saturn opposing those natal planets there really primed her for the experiences that she sunk into. Courtney has said that while the years of 1994 to 1995 were extremely prolific for her career, she doesn't really remember them much due to drug and alcohol use. Her first Saturn return in the sixth house centered around themes of abusing her body with drugs, dealing with the fallout of Kurt's death, and being committed to her band Hole. Her band's second album, Live Through This, was released a week after Kurt died, and it went on to become a certified platinum album and dubbed Album of the Year by the Rolling Stone magazine. Throughout the remainder of her Saturn return, she would be arrested various times, cause scenes, be violent, process the death of her husband, all while touring with her band and staying committed to her work. Above all else, Courtney wanted to have a successful career and give her creativity to the world through her band. In a lot of the interviews I watched of her, all she kept bringing it back to was, I got to keep working. I got to keep working. I got to keep doing this. I have to succeed. Even though she's a widow and she's processing this death and everything else that she has swirling around her, all she really was focusing on was her band and the work that she was doing, the service she was providing to the world. That was her main focus. Her experience with Saturn during those years definitely put her through her paces, and she had to fight against herself and the circumstances to rise above it all to reach the success that she desired. She's a great example of how our Saturn returns can bring immense hardship, but it also has the ability to provide greatness if we sink our teeth into the challenge. To kind of put a button on this, Courtney has said that she wouldn't be alive if she wouldn't have gone on tour and if she didn't immerse herself in her work, which is very much a sixth house Saturn return feeling. Since Saturn is back in Pisces, Courtney is actually experiencing her second Saturn return now. And as of late, there's been murmurings about Kurt's death and what really went on. I know there's kind of always been throughout the years like speculation, but being that the 30th anniversary is coming up and now she's in this second Saturn return, I think we're going to see a lot more drudging up of things. And for the record, I have no opinion or stake in what happened or didn't happen. I'm just reporting things as I see them. I think regardless of the truth of the matter, we had two individuals who suffered greatly at the hands of their fate, and watching Courtney's interviews and performances in preparation for this episode just really struck me on a human level. She's dealing with a lot of malefic energy from Saturn, and it's not easy to watch. So regardless of what you think of the situation, I think just on a human level, when you see her, you can just see sort of the pain and anguish that radiates from her. Recently, there has been allegations and suspicions that she had a relationship with the coroner who did Kurt's autopsy, which is not a great look. The sixth house is all about physical body, physical health, and things like autopsies could definitely fall into this house or the eighth house. The timing of this happening and resurfacing is no coincidence. Like I said, it's going to be the 30th anniversary of Kurt's death, and there's no doubt that Courtney's going to endure more hardship in this realm of her life and honestly have to relive some of those moments again. Because one thing I say about your Saturn return is if you don't deal with it the first time around, it's going to come for you the next time. There's a dude who wrote a book all about Kurt's death and how it wasn't a suicide. He doesn't ever come out and say who it was. Like, I don't think he actually points the finger and says, but it was you, you know, with the candlestick in the parlor. He's not like that, but he does have his theories about how it wasn't a suicide. Earlier this month, he publicly offered Courtney Love $50,000 to take a lie detector test and prove her innocence. I don't know what's going on with all that, but details coming out about Kurt's newly leaked autopsy and her having an alleged relationship with the coroner, and then this cash money offer to take a polygraph, it's all very reminiscent of her first go around with Saturn. It's drudging up those old bones. And I know there's going to be more that comes to the surface as Saturn continues transiting Pisces until like 2026 when it fully leaves Pisces. Our next example has nothing to do with Kurt and Courtney. In fact, he was born in a completely different century than those two. Our next example is Alexander Graham Bell. And I just want you to think for a minute, because if that name rings a bell, pun, then it's because this is the guy that's credited with as being the inventor of the telephone. Some might even say that it's really his whole identity or persona. That name is associated with the telephone. So let's look at Alexander Graham Bell's Saturn. It's 4 degrees of Pisces in the first house. He's actually a twilight chart. Saturn has dignity by decan. It's square Jupiter and very loosely conjunct the sun by my standards. Unlike our other two charts where we had a day chart and a night chart, this one is what's known as a twilight chart. When the sun is within roughly 4 degrees of the ascendant-descendant axis, it's what's known as a twilight chart. Typically, I would talk with the person and try to suss out which luminary they feel closest with and look at some other factors like dignity and standing in the luminaries to see which is more powerful, to figure out if this person is more of a day chart or a night chart. But Alexander Graham Bell isn't here to discuss that with me, so we're just going to have to go with what we got. I think it's safe to say that Alexander Graham Bell's shining achievement was that he's credited with creating the first telephone. That's one of those like softball trivia questions that people just sort of retain for no reason. Like, oh yeah, we all know the guy who invented the phone. Yeah, when you say his name, yeah, that makes sense. That's the phone guy. Which is funny, astrologically speaking, because he received the patent for the telephone during his first Saturn return, which took place in his first house, the House of Identity. Inventing the telephone would be what Alexander Graham Bell would come to be known for, and it would pretty much overshadow his whole persona, his whole character and identity. I think it's really cute that he got the patent just 4 days after his birthday. I can only imagine how stoked he was to get it around that time, so that's a really cute detail. But a not so cute detail is that he's regularly been accused of stealing ideas and trying to be shifty in the way he went about getting the patent. There was a competitor of his that filed for the patent on the same day as him. Ultimately, Alexander Graham Bell did receive the patent, and he began creating a telephone that had sketches that were eerily similar to his competitors. He's still accused of stealing, and there's even some sketchy stuff surrounding the patent examiner, who went on to confess that he was an alcoholic and he was in debt with... Like he felt like he was in debt to Graham Bell's lawyer because he served with him in the Civil War, so he like owed him some kind of debt. So the patent guy showed Graham Bell's lawyer the competing proposal for the telephone, the patent for it, and Graham Bell himself paid $100, which would be roughly like $3,000 today's time, to see the competing proposal. And he admitted in a personal letter that he gained knowledge from it, but professionally and outwardly otherwise, like publicly, Graham Bell has formally denied any allegations of stealing or wrongdoing. But everybody knows there's kind of like some sus stuff going around, like circling around the patent and how he got it. This is a nice and easy example of how, yes, Saturn did provide Graham Bell with something that was career and identity defining during his first Saturn return, but malefic boons typically come with a catch. The seedy underbelly of how he got the patent isn't really a secret, and that part of the story unfortunately follows his persona and character as well. Our next example is another cool and historical one. While Isaac Newton may have been known for his laws of gravity and motion, during his first Saturn return, he was busy occupying his time with something much more colorful. One of Newton's other biggest accomplishments was his theory of color. His Saturn info is 19 degrees of Pisces in the fifth house. He's a night chart, so it's his greater malefic. It's square Mercury, and it is conjunct Jupiter. For almost the entirety of his first Saturn return, Newton was studying and lecturing on optics, color spectrums, and light refraction. In the middle of his Saturn return, about 1671, he published his preliminary notes on optics and color theory. The reason I chose Newton was because I think it's such a cool example for the fifth house. Newton's color theory paved the way for recognizing red, yellow, and blue as the primary colors, as well as giving us the spectrum of color, and also creating the color wheel, which, hello, art and creativity. I know he's like Isaac Newton, scientist man, calculus man, and gravity man, and everybody thinks like, oh, this is just like baseline smarts, like there's no creativity here. But really, there was. His studies on color theory and optics gave us color theory, gave us the color wheel. So while Newton himself may not have been an artist or thought of himself as an artist, his findings, teachings, and discoveries in the realm of the fifth house have given so much insight to color theory as our hairstylists and our artist friends know it today. Newton's color theory also stated that clear white light is composed of 7 visible colors, which is akin to the colors we know in the rainbow or our 7 chakras. There's whispers that Newton was kind of enamored by mysticism, and the number 7 is a very mystical and important number in occult spaces. So he was like, yeah, there's probably 7 visible colors. So we have Newton to thank for the whole Roy G. Biv acronym when we were learning about rainbow and colors as a kid. Super cute example. I'm sure there was something problematic that happened for him during that time as well, but we've gone through a lot of heaviness, and the last example had some scandal too, so we're just going to leave this one at the fifth house, color wheels, and rainbows. Our last example for today is actress, activist, and exercise video babe, Jane Fonda. Jane's Saturn return happened in the years 1965 to about 1967, and throughout that time, she was predominantly busy with movie roles and rising to fame. But there's one thing that really stuck out to me that happened during that time, and it's actually the reason why I included her. So let's lay the groundwork for her chart quick. Her Saturn is at 28 degrees of Pisces in the third house. She is a day chart, so this is her lesser malefic. It's sextile her ascendant, and it's square Chiron and the sun. Jane is an example of someone who is currently in her third Saturn return. Her first seems to have been the most influential or the most character building. Her second began shortly after she retired from acting. So there's not a whole lot of info about her life at that time, at least that I could really find. And now she's currently experiencing her third. Her first Saturn return in 1965 is the most telling. She starred in what was considered her breakout role in a movie called Cat Ballou that year and had movie after movie after that. There was another movie she was in the following year, 1966, that would get her noticed by a magazine called Variety. And then in that same year, the magazine Playboy would come to publish pictures of her without her consent, and she would sue them. You might be wondering why I keep putting emphasis on the word magazine here, and it's because the third house has to do with routine publications like blogs, newspapers, and magazines. Jane dealing with having to sue Playboy while also having another magazine notice her for her talent is very Saturn return in the third house. There's accomplishment, but there's also hardship in the realm of her routine and day-to-day mind via the media. I mentioned that I couldn't find much info about her during the years of her second Saturn return, but I did find something of note for her third one that she's in right now. This is a smaller example, but it really illustrates how our charts grow with time and how placements mature and how we come to reconcile these placements more as we age, especially the malefic ones, because the malefic ones have something to teach us. The dynamic aspects in our chart is where we can really, again, sink our teeth in and find goodness if we work with it, but it takes time. Our charts are static, but the energy behind them is dynamic and constantly moving and evolving as we move. So theoretically, as you go through your Saturn returns, and if you reach your third one, you should be like, okay, I am a full PhD graduate of Saturn, and I am here to accept my diploma, and I understand what life is now. Right at the beginning of her third return, Jane did an interview with People magazine again, and on the cover, she's quoted as saying, "Life gets better with age. Who am I? What am I supposed to do in life? All of that has been answered." She also goes on to talk about her body image struggles and how she struggled with body dysmorphia when she was younger and how back then she just didn't feel like she was worth anything and she didn't feel like she was good enough. Jane talking about her body dysmorphia immediately made me think of the aspect with Saturn and her ascendant, as well as the aspect with Chiron and her sixth house. Her body and health have been something that she's continually felt struggles towards. And now that she's older, wiser, and more mature, she sees the wisdom in herself, her body, and the struggles along the way. One last thing about Jane's current Saturn return. She had her sequel to the movie Book Club come out around the beginning of this third return, which again, how fitting for the third house. A movie about a group of people who get together on a routine basis, consume media together, and spill tea. Whether you're going through your Saturn return or not, it's always a good idea to keep track of where Saturn is in your chart. Knowing the overall condition of your natal Saturn is important for Saturn returns because it's coming back to your natal placement. But when it's not your Saturn return and it's just a transit, you're more going to assess the house, deck, and bounds and aspects that it's currently making to get an idea of what it's doing and the energy you're feeling from it. For instance, right now, on the day this podcast came out, Saturn is in the first decan of Pisces, which means it's receiving dignity because that first decan of Pisces is ruled by Saturn. Come March 2nd, that's no longer going to be the case as Saturn will have moved on to the decan of Jupiter. So it won't have as much autonomy starting around that time. If certain things in your life feel really hard right now or they've felt hard while Saturn has been in those first 10 degrees of Pisces, that's going to ease up just a little bit. I'm not in my Saturn return, but I can definitely feel the weight of Saturn in my sixth house of health and work-life routine. Moving states, quitting my job as a scientist and becoming a full-time astrologer and working from home for the first time has been a big adjustment to my routine and obviously my line of work. But it's in the best way. It's not nearly as heavy as my Saturn return was. It's more just something that I'm grinding away at and I'm spending a lot of time figuring out. From the health perspective of the sixth house, I've gone through weird little allergy stints where my body just all of a sudden doesn't like certain foods anymore. So I've had to do elimination diets and be a little more strict in what I'm eating to align myself with my body, which feels very, very much like the health-related aspect of what something Saturn would do in your sixth house: restrict, limit, eliminate. So while my experience might not be quite on the level of a Saturn return, I wanted to convey that it's still important to note Saturn even when it's not return time. You really want to look at where it's at in your chart because it can tell you, okay, that's an area where I just got to be a little more diligent. I have to put a little more effort in right now. But if you are in your return, then you best be front of the class, paying attention, and hope that you get it right on the first go. Because anything you miss or dismiss or try to evade, it's going to come back around the next time and it's going to be looking for completion. And the Saturn will eventually get you to hand in your homework. If you want more astrological content before the next episode, consider signing up to become a patron of my work. I've got exclusive blog content, monthly lunar reminders with tarot advice, retrograde guides, and a Discord waiting for you to join. You could also leave a super cute review on Spotify or iTunes, which I would be eternally grateful for. Head on over to my website, check it all out, and thank you in advance for supporting me. Until next time, later days.